We think about love, don't we? Yeah. During Valentine's Day, it's all about that. And so, you know, there's been a lot of songs written about love. You know, there's been songs like the Beatles, All You Need Is Love. And Joe Cocker, he wrote Love Lift You Up Where You Belong. You know, you remember that song? Love Lift You Up Where You Belong. I can't sing it like he could, you know. Where the Eagles Fly. Yeah, we all know that song. And then there was Whitney Houston, you know, The Greatest Love, you know. And then there was Endless Love. You remember that song? Endless Love. Those were big songs back when I was in school.
Yeah.
You know, back when I was young. And then there's this one song that just seemed like to always stick in my head. And it was a song by Tina Turner. Do you know which song I'm talking about? Oh, no, it was a big hit back then. What's Love Got to Do? Yeah, you remember that song. Everybody knows that song, whether you like Tina Turner or not, right? You just couldn't help. It was all over. I mean, you just heard that song, you know. What's love got to do with it? What's love but a second-hand emotion? What's love got to do with it? Who needs a heart, is what it says, when a heart can be broken. And, you know, that's what it seems like. We have a lot of broken hearts, don't we? True love seems like it. We find broken hearts. But the love of God, this agape love that we share, the true essence, it is the true essence of love that God offers, has healed every part of our heart. Everyone that has ever come in contact with the love that God gives, they become complete and whole. Amen?
Amen.
In 1 Corinthians 13, 1-10, it says, if I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but don't have love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all His mysteries and making everything plain as day, and if I have faith that says to a mountain, move, and it moves, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Now that's Paul speaking. That's the Message Bible translation, which I kind of like that translation right there. He says, I'm bankrupt without love. If I've done all these things in my life, and I do these things, and I don't do it with love in my heart, it means nothing. You know, I love that song, Love Never Gives Up. It never gives up. It never runs out on me. I like that song, but it's true. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for themselves. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have, and love doesn't strut around. Doesn't have a swelled head. Doesn't force itself on others. Isn't always the me first ideology. Doesn't fly off the handle. Really? Doesn't keep score of the sins of others. Doesn't reveal when others grovel. Takes pleasure in the flowering of truth and puts up with anything. Trusts God always. Always looks for the best in every situation. Never looks back, but keeps going to the end. That's love. You know, I read a story about this teacher who was helping one of her kindergarten students put on his boots. He's having trouble and he couldn't do it, so he asked for help. And so she, you know, set the boy down and she was pulling and pushing and tugging and pulling, and they fought and fought and fought to get his boots on. And finally they got the first boot on, and then they got the second boot on, and she'd worked really hard. She was frustrated, and then the little boy, when they got the boots on, he said, teacher, they're on the wrong feet. So she looked, sure enough they were, so she tugged and pulled and pulled and tugged and got them off. And so then she managed to keep her cool and keep it together. And then she, you know, she got them back on the right feet. And then the boy looked at her and says, you know, these are not my boots. And so she bit her tongue, and rather than get mad and frustrated and start screaming and say, you know, just do it yourself, you know, she's like, well, let's get the right boots. And once again, she struggled to get the right boots on his feet. And she finally got him on his feet after all that. And she said, now, where's your mittens at? And he said, well, they're in the toes of my shoes. You know, that happens, doesn't it? But I've watched teachers and I've watched people work with little kids like that with such love and such caring and some compassion. And that only comes from one place. You know, here in this world we live in today, we've got Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and TikTok, which I don't do, okay? YouTube and all these things. I don't think ever in history, it's unlike anything we've ever seen, you know, today, that we have more avenues and more devices to communicate with each other than we ever have before. I mean, we can communicate with people in Africa. I had a meeting the other day with somebody in Kansas City that was just casual meeting. We just plug in and here we are talking face to face, video to video, you know, just like we'd be sitting in the living room or in the office. And, you know, it makes it easy, but, you know, I think everybody likes to have their word out and everybody wants to say their piece and speak their mind and everybody wants to have a cause for their message and everybody wants to have a following and to make sure that they're heard, make sure that they're liked, you know, because I've said this before, you know, it kind of hurts your feelings when you post something on Facebook and nobody likes it, right? Or, you know, you think it's really good and you're like, man, that's so good, and you post it and three people think it's okay. You're like, well, what happened to the other 500 friends that I've got on Facebook? Are they sleeping or what? You know, these things bother us, you know. And, you know, everybody wants to have that following. You know, and me as a pastor, I want everybody to like what I like. I want everybody to like Jesus, right? I want everybody to know Jesus like I know Jesus. I want everybody to love Jesus like I love Jesus. But it's not always like that, is it? It's not always the likable thing. We like our stuff too. All the things that we hear and read about on the news and on the net. You know, it's not a very positive message that we hear today, is it? You know, I was always drawn to that positive person. You know, you want to hear the good news. You want to hear the positive thing going on. You don't want to hear doom and gloom all the time, the winter of death this year. Some of you are laughing because you know what I'm talking about. I mean, it's like everywhere we turn, and I said this last week, it's like everywhere we turn, there's negativity. It's the first time in life where being positive is a bad thing and being negative is good. You know? Talking about COVID there. But where's all the love in this? We see people fighting and arguing and bickering because they got to have, you know, everybody has an opinion and that's okay. That's America, right? You know, I look at our freedoms here in this country and I think, you know, we have the right to have our opinion, but it seems like today that's not right. Where's the love in all this? It's all right for me to talk about social issues today, isn't it? Because it deals with what I see in America today or in the world worldwide is, where's the love at? Where's the love at? It's no surprise that when you take God out of schools and you take God out of everything and you want to remove the love of God that we sang about, this love of God that we can't even hardly, we don't have no way of expressing that love of God. We can't write enough about it. There's no way I could say enough words about the love of God. I can just tell you, He is love. And when you take God out, you take the love out. And when you take the love out, you see what we're dealing with. Where's love in the message? See, that's why Jesus said, I need you guys to stay here. I mean, God could have taken us all to heaven. He could have changed, He could have made things way different because He's God. He created everything. But there was a reason, there was a plan, there was a purpose. And He said, you know, where I go, you can't go, but I'm going to leave you here. And while you're here, I want you to go and make disciples. I want you to go and show what? I want you to tell everybody about how much I love them. That's the gospel. I want you to tell them that God loved you so much that He was willing to die for you. He was willing to send His Son. God was willing to send His Son to hang on a cross, to be crucified, to be martyred, to be born. I mean, to just be humiliated for you. That's what I want you to tell everybody. I want you to tell everybody that's how much God loves you. Explain that to the world. I believe that there has never been a time when people have been more at edge than now. Than today. Tempers are so short, you can't hardly have a conversation with some people. They don't want to hear it. But you know, our time is very valuable here. It's short. But it seems like some people's time is more valuable than others. You know, I think our time is the most valuable possession that we have. Amen. And God says, while you're here on this earth, your time is important. So while you're here, make the best of it. You know, we can't control how much time we have. Not one of us here today can control how much time we have. I hate to waste time. Unless it's somebody else's time. Amen. It seems like that's our attitude, isn't it? James 4:14 says, you don't even know what tomorrow will bring, what your life will be. For you are like smoke that appears or like a vapor, which just lasts a little while and then vanishes. King James says vapor there. So with this so little a time and this preciousness of it, what are we doing with it and why aren't we doing more with it? You know, I read in the book of Daniel, chapter 12, it says, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, and even to the time of the end many shall run to and fro. If you read that book there, you see where people are just running frantically. They just don't even know where they're going. They're just going to and fro. Chaotic mess, almost. I see that today in this world we live in. People are just running and they don't even know what they're running to or running from. They're just going nonstop. You know, they look for guidance in world leaders and they look for guidance in psychiatrists and psychologists, and really where they need to be looking is to Jesus. Amen. I think that people are attracted to the person who has the most positive message. I think that we desire that positive message, but then again, I think that there's so many people that seems like they want to hear the negative story. They want to hear the gossip. They want to hear that bad thing that's going on. They don't want to hear the good news. And I think, how confused is that? Does anybody remember the movie Jerry Maguire? I haven't seen that movie in a long time. But I just thought of that movie, Jerry Maguire. You know, it's about, you know, he's an agent trying to get a good deal for the football player and that he was representing, and it seemed as though that he couldn't come through for him. He was always trying to get that good deal, and he couldn't do it. And in one of the most famous lines in that whole movie, the football player was saying, show me the money. He said, show me the money and I'll show you some love. And so the agent would say, show me the love and I'll show you the money. You know, money is not bad, but however the love for the money is, right? I got a point to this now. Follow me. I believe that, you know, in our society, it's never been more important to people in this society than to have things and to have stuff. And we work so hard to have our stuff, and we work really hard to keep our stuff. And if we don't have the money to get our stuff, we get a credit card so we can have our stuff. And then when we can't pay our credit card, we get another credit card to pay that credit card so we can keep our stuff. And then we don't have room to keep our stuff, so we go rent a storage unit to keep our stuff in that we have to pay every month, right? And then we have all this stuff that we don't even know what we have, and then years later we open it up and think, I don't even want this, and they throw it in a dumpster. It seems like the way of life. I've seen many dumpsters full of stuff that people kept and held on to for years, until they one day realize, I don't need this stuff. We get so caught up in this lifestyle of stuff. It almost brings us to a selfish pathway of entitlement thinking. You know, somehow I think Satan's used all this to get us off course, to get us distracted from where we really should be focused on, and that's sharing the love of God through His message. That's my point. We tend to love more of our stuff than we do love God. We tend to love more of our precious time that goes towards getting so distracted by other things that we don't even... You know, we try to spend at least an hour at church on Sunday morning. But the rest of our time is focused on what? Think about that. Now, you guys know what goes on in your life. I know what goes on in my life. But think about what time you focus on everything else but God. And then think about that God loved you so much that He sent His Son to die for you. Isn't that the message that we want to share with the world? I don't think I'm down on making money, because we got to have a certain amount of money to live. We got to eat, right? A pastor friend of mine said it for many years. Years ago he told me this. He said, because I struggled that, you know, with working and all that, and I felt like I spent too much time working and not enough time in church, you know, helping and doing things, because I wanted to do all I could do. And he said, you know, son, he said, you need to remember, God needs good people to make good money to pay good tithes. And I carried through with me, and I thought about that. At first I was kind of like, well, I don't know how to take that, you know, but really he's right. We got to live, we got to exist. Got to keep lights on. You guys want the lights on here while we're having church? The heat? You want heat? So, I mean, a certain part of that's true, right? I'll get off that because I don't want, that's not what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about love, okay? Paul said this, if I give everything I own to the poor, and even if I go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, or what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. There's only one who was a man after God's own heart. There's a story in the Bible. There was one character in the Bible, and that was David. David loved to worship God, and David had the true essence of what all Christians strive for. David had a real lifelong relationship with the Creator. In 1 Samuel 17:45, it says, "Then David said to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." Even at this young age, David was the one who stepped up and said, "Excuse me." You ever done that before? Do you know who you're talking about? You know, you ever do that for Jesus? I don't want to get off track here, but I want you to know, David was like, "I want you to know that I won't stand for you talking that way about someone that I love and respect, someone that I adore and worship." In all of Israel, it seems as though they had been distracted by the giant in the room. I thought of COVID. It seems like the giant in the room today in this world is COVID. And it seems like it's distracted so many. Don't you know who I serve? Have you forgotten who you serve? Have you forgotten the one who saved you? David was like, "I'm not going to forget that guy. Man, I serve a God who can. I may be a scrawny guy. I may be the youngest of my brothers. I'm not like my oldest brother who was buffed, looked like Fabio. He must have, Bible says he was a good-looking big guy, strong warrior. Samuel says, I don't want that guy. Send me the next one." You know, I can't imagine that. He went through the whole bunch of them. And he says, "Is there anybody else?" You know, and he's like, "Well, there's this other guy out here, my youngest. He's out there in the field. This little scrawny shepherd boy." Samuel's like, "That's the one I want right there." Why? Because he loved God so much. You know, it seems like we have to tolerate so much today. It seems though everything is so extreme around us all the time. We see so much violence and so much discourse and so much blatant lack of God in people. I hope you don't hate me when you leave here today. I hope you love me more. Because I'm saying this to encourage you. Am I the only one? I mean, you guys see this too? I mean, people, it seems like the more I see more and more and more all the time, people who just don't love God. Amen. Amen. I love, you know, we started back meeting on Friday nights. There's nothing better than sitting down with each one of you and eating and visiting face to face, is there? I agree with that. You know, I remember the story of King David. He got so excited, and that's what I want to see. I remember, you know, I remember how Sylvia was, and I say this all the time. I remember how Bonnie Sweet was. I remember how some of these figures in my life, but what was so special about them? It wasn't about that things need to be like it was back in the 80s. I'm just saying, it was the desire, the passion that they had because they loved God so much, it just had to come out of them. Amen? I see less and less of that today. It's this love for God that you can't help but tell people about. That's what I am missing from people today in our society. I remember David, you know, it was a big deal for him. He wanted to go get the ark. You guys know the story, some of you may not. David wanted to go get the ark back, and so he went, you know, and he got the ark, and then one guy stumbled and touched the ark, and he died and scared David. So David's like, I don't know what to do with the ark, so I guess we'll leave it at somebody's house. So he goes to Obed-Edom's house, and he says, hey, one of our guys touched the ark and died. Let's leave it at your house. I can't imagine Obed-Edom being like, whoa, wait a second. You mean Uzzah died? You want me to leave? You're going to leave this here? I can see you, Obed-Edom's wife going, you ain't leaving that here. You know, not in my house. Huh? So anyway, yeah, I mean, what are you going to do? You know, but anyway, we find out that they let him keep it there. You know, David went on back, and then the whole time the ark was there, Obed-Edom's family was blessed. I mean, he was blessed abundantly. And so then David shows up one day, several months or so down the road, and he says, we're here to get the ark. And Obed-Edom's like, what? We've been blessed. You ain't taking the ark. David's like, we're taking the ark. Obed-Edom says, well, if you're taking it, I'm going with you. And he did. And it, you know, he served, you know, he followed David. But as David was coming in, he was so excited because what David didn't, David had to go back and read the rules again about how you're supposed to transport the ark. This is my version, okay? But David had done it wrong. He forgot to read the rule book about how you're supposed to handle the ark, see? And then that's why the guy died, because he didn't do it the right way. So David had to go back and learn how you're supposed to handle the ark. And so once he figured that out, he got the right guys in the right place, and they handled the ark the way it was supposed to be, like God told him to. So as he was coming into the city, David was so excited about bringing the ark, God, back to the city, right? The city of David. He was so excited about that. He was dancing in the streets. Now, can you imagine that? He did. And he's loincloth. Yeah. He'd lost it by the time it was over. But he was so excited about getting the ark back, getting God back. Can we be that excited about getting God back in our country? Amen? Can we be that excited about getting God back in our churches and in our lives? Having that excitement that we're not afraid to stand up and say, hey, you know what? I'm not going to listen to that because, you know, that's not righteous way to talk. You ever walk away from a conversation because somebody was using language you didn't want to hear? Yes. Amen? You ever turn the TV off? Well, can't watch that. That's just going a little bit overboard. Some people don't get that, but let me tell you, we have to. I can't imagine David being that excited. I can, though. I know we're Nazarenes and I can't dance. But I'll only tell you something. I'll dance if I have to. That's a song, too. I'll dance if I need to. Let me tell you, there's some wonderful stories in the Bible. Has anybody, you know, David, he worshiped God. It says David, and let me read a little bit of this. And David is dancing with all his strength before Jehovah. This is what the scripture says. And David is girded with linen. And David and all the house of Israel bringing up the ark of Jehovah with shouting and with the voice of a trumpet. There was such an anointing, such an excitement in David's praise and worship, so much so that it was contagious. Let me tell you, I want to be that contagious person. I want people to get excited about God just because they're around me. Amen? Not because I did anything, but because God's doing something in me. Amen?
Amen.
Because it's not about me, it's about the God who lives within me. But you know what? Not everybody's going to approve of that. Not everybody's going to like that excitement. Not everybody, even in church, is going to like that excitement. Sad to say. And even David, his wife, looked out the window. This was Saul's daughter. She looks out the window and she looks at David and it says she despised him in her heart. She didn't like that he was excited about something. There's people out there like that. They can't stand for you to be happy. Has anybody here this morning ever worshiped God with all their heart, with all their mind, with all their strength? Have you ever done that? Have you ever worshiped God with everything that you have? That's what David did. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to worship Him with everything that we've got. Now, I'm not saying that every one of us is going to get up here and praise God, you know. I'm not going to do my dance. She videoed me once dancing. And you can't share it. Oh. Not everybody's going to approve of your relationship, and some people are going to think that you're ridiculous by the joy that you have in your heart for Christ. They're not going to understand why you can dance and you can praise with all your strength. They don't get it. But God's going to appreciate it. And God's going to bless you for it. You know, everyone else, let me put it like this. Everyone else can have a relationship with God for you. Everyone can't walk your journey in life for you. Everyone cannot go where you're going in life. Everyone cannot go where God is taking you to go. We all have our journey. We all have our walk. We all have our purpose, and God has chosen each and every one of us to love and to worship Him. We can live an abundant life spiritually. When the Bible talks about the abundant life, some people think it's monetary, but it's not. For some it is. And God blesses people, and it's wonderful. But He's talking about spiritual abundance. Overflowing with love, overflowing with the Spirit of God. That's what He wants from us. So many people are missing out. There's a story that I read about this man. He went to the doctor's office about 8:30, and Man in his 80s, the story goes, it said he arrived to have some stitches removed from his thumb. And he said he was in a hurry as he had an appointment at 9 a.m. And the nurse took his vital signs and had him take a seat. And knowing it would be over an hour before someone could see him, the nurse saw him looking at his watch and decided, since she was not so busy with any other patients, she would evaluate his wound and examine him. And so she looked him over and she saw that the wound was healed very well. And so the nurse talked to one of the doctors and got the needed supplies to remove the sutures and redress his wound. And while taking care of his wound, the nurse asked him if he had another doctor's appointment this morning as he was in such a hurry. And the gentleman told the nurse, no, that he needed to go to the nursing home to eat breakfast with his wife. The nurse inquired as to her health, and he told the nurse that she had been there for a while and that she was a victim of Alzheimer's. And as they talked, the nurse asked if she would be upset if he was just a little late, and he replied that she no longer knew who he was, that she had not recognized him for about 5 years now. And the nurse was surprised, and she asked him, and you still go every day, every morning to eat breakfast, even though she doesn't even know who you are? And he smiled as he patted the nurse on the hand and said, she doesn't know me, but I still know who she is. You know, this morning, you may have been kicked around and beat up by this world. You may have even lost focus on your relationship with God. But God's not forgotten you. He knows who you are. He still wants to visit with you every day. If you're a Christian this morning, you're a child of the King. Amen. You're a child of the Most High God, and you're an heir to the throne, and that should mean something. You're wonderfully made, and God loves you so much. And if you're not a Christian this morning, you can be. You can be. God loves you too. And He'd like nothing more than to be a part of your family and for you to be a part of His family. So if you ask me this morning again, what's love got to do with it? Love's got everything to do with it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, let us leave here with an overwhelming love in our heart, knowing that You are with us wherever we go. Lord, that we are Your child and You are our Father who is in heaven. Lord, I praise You. Lord, I thank You. Lord, let us not leave this place without being right with You. Lord, let us let go of anything that may hold us back from serving You, any distraction that may be in the way. And let us always remember what John said, for God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Lord, we praise You and we thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.